three passages of Scripture. First, Peter's letter. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Then the Psalms, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Then the Gospel of John, Jesus speaking. "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The title of the message is "The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth." We have now for several weeks, and will for a few weeks more, be speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've been burdened to show things concerning the Spirit of God as to His person, who He is, and His work, what He does. And today we come to emphasize those parts of the ministry of the Spirit of God that has to do with truth. Truth. The Spirit of God, the third person of the triune God, co-equal in every way, sharing all the attributes of God the Father, being true Spirit, coterminous with the Father, eternal in every way, immense, ubiquitous, eternal, infinite. The Spirit of God handles truth, ministers truth, conveys truth to us in two ways. First, through the written word. Second, through the living word. Here we have some of the great dynamics of the Christian faith. All religions have some notion of God, some notion of the deity. But it is only in Christianity do we find fully developed a well-orbed understanding of God, the true God, the living God, and all of His revelation and manifestation. The Spirit of God gives us truth, that which is true. That's why we insist as Christians that we have the true religion, the true faith in the true God, according to truth, is that truth is the highest priority in the mind of God. That which is false, that which is erroneous, that which is inaccurate has nothing to do with God, for God is pure perfection. And He wants to convey to us true truth. And He does it in two ways. I'll speak of them in order simply because we have to speak of one before the other, but there is no priority in the order. First, the Spirit of God speaks with His breath through the written word. That's what the first passage we read had to do. It talked to us about God's ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry in the written word. It's called a sure word of prophecy. God the Spirit breathed out. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and more accurately, expiration. He breathed out truth into the heart and mind of man, such that men of old wrote, inscripturated the very truth of God. The written word is a divine human product. It is divine in the sense that it is 100% what God Almighty wanted to say. It is His spoken word. But it is human in the sense that God conveyed it to select men of old. We call them the prophets, the men who heard the word of the Most High God. Over many centuries, into several cultures, into principally two languages, Hebrew and Greek, God spoke His word to these men. However, God did not prevail upon them in a dictatorial fashion, such that they wrote in such a way they had no clue of what they were writing, and they were just simply free hands in the hand of the Spirit. We can see that the Lord used these human authors in such a way that they used their own vocabulary, their own style of writing. They wrote within a historical milieu all around them. They swam in certain waters, and it's undeniable that that is the stuff of the literature of Scripture. In fact, it is so authentically human that liberal observation is that it's merely human. It is so obviously the work of man that liberal scholarship looks at the canonical Scriptures and said, this was written by men, not by God. It is so human in every way. Look at it. It bears the stamp of human authorship. But it is authentically and truly 100% the Word of God. The great writer in our tradition, B.B. Warfield, says that inspiration boils down to this. What got written was what God wanted to get written. Man wrote down what God wanted written down. And we receive it as such. In fact, one of the most beautiful ways to explain this is the way Peter does there in that passage. He says that the holy men of God spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful way to put it. That's the way the Holy Spirit did it. The word for carried along is the word pharaoh in the Greek. And we get our word ferry, which means to take some goods from one place to another. We ferry them from place to place. We get our word transfer, fare, to take from place to place, to transfer, then move from place to place. This is exactly what the Spirit of God did. He took the word from the mouth of God into inscripturated literature. It was a ferry process. It was a transfer process. They were borne along. They started from the lips and the breath of God and moved along to a definite destination of the infallible inscripturated word that we hold on Sundays and read. They were carried along. But in the process, as the ferry is carried along from place to place, on board the ferry, the prophets had the liberty of vocabulary, of expression, of literary forms. If you've ever really studied the Scripture seriously, and I look out here and I see most of you I know to be pretty serious Bible students, you've noted the incredible variety of literature in the Bible. The Bible is filled with all sorts of literary genre. and stories and narratives and poems and epics and slogans and blessings and curses, and just on and on and on you can go and see the various things that make the very mosaic that goes together to form this beautiful tapestry that is the canonical scriptures, the Old and the New Testaments, the Hebrew scriptures and the Greek documents of the church. And you see the variety. Within the boat, the ferry, as the Spirit blows, and it's interesting that they're borne along, is the picture of the blowing. And remember, we talked about the Spirit, the words for Spirit being wind and breath in the Old Testament. The breath of God bears them along such that they now are at the place where they need to be, the inscripturated word, with full liberty in the process to produce them according to the complete humanity and skills and abilities and stations and educational level and all the rest of the authors. And so the Spirit of God breathes upon the prophets to produce the written word. A divine human product. The Spirit of God conveys in a second way to us truth. He conveys to us truth through the living word. The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and that which was conceived in her was of God. 100% divine. Born, conceived of the Spirit of God. A divine person. Yet, born of the seed of the woman. Descended from Adam, perfectly and completely human. The Spirit of God not only gives us a divine human product, that is the phenomenon of Scripture, but He now has given to us a divine human person, Jesus Christ. And that's what John speaks about in his text. When John writes to us, he talks about the living Word, the divine Logos. He begins his gospel saying, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the world." And on he goes talking about this Word. He says, this Logos became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have the incarnation. So the Spirit of God gives us a divine human. Liberal research looks at Christ and they says, He was a mere man. He was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful teacher and worker of good deeds, and on they go. But He was a man. You can manifestly see His humanity in the record and the testimony. And that's true. Jesus was manifestly, obviously human. He was a man clothed in humanity as much as any person of Adam's descent that has ever lived. But He was also divine. And just what John speaks of here in recording the words of Jesus. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. The Spirit of God will point to and empower Christ. One of the most fascinating studies you can ever make is to study in the New Testament the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth as it's portrayed in the Gospels, and his association and relationship with the divine spirit. Within the triune God, that God-man walking upon earth, his dependence and his relationship with the divine spirit of God, the third person of the triune God. From his very conception, when the Spirit overshadowed Mary, all the way through the days of his upbringing, all the way through the days of his baptism and then his temptation and his prayer and his ministry, to the days he was in the garden and the time that he was on the cross and in the tomb. And then the Bible says, Romans chapter 1, God raised him up by the Holy Spirit. Was that life-giving force that brought Jesus' dead human carcass to life. And not just a resuscitation, but a resurrection. The Spirit of God is the source of life in the Old Testament, and he's the source of eternal life, as we hear in the Gospel. And he's truth. It's interesting that Jesus, on the same night, spoke of both the living word and the written word. First, he spoke of himself as the living word of God when he said in John 14, we read it, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. An immediate identification. Jesus said, I am the truth. When he left that upper room that night, walked across the Kidron Valley and went out into the garden to pray with his disciples, he knelt in prayer in John 17, chapter 17, records that prayer. And in that prayer, he prays this line, praying to the Father. He says, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. So it is a verification on the same evening of himself as the living word and the scriptures as the written word. Both divine, human. Both testifying to that which is authentic, real truth. This sermon has been in the indicative. We've talked about an overview of Orthodox doctrine concerning the Spirit of God in the Word, the written Word, and the living Word, the Bible and Christ Jesus. Is there an imperative? Is there an imperative? Is there something we must do? Is there a response we must make? And I think there is. If the Word of God is the truth, then we must understand it and see it as that which is authentically directional for our lives. We've got to take it more seriously. We've got to understand it better. We've got to apply its words more closely and more absolutely. We've got to be a little bit less dismissive of certain parts of it that we either don't understand or don't agree with or find just too difficult to read and study. We've got to learn to love the written Word of God as we love the Spirit of God, the Father Himself. Oh, how love I thy law, said the psalmist. It is my meditation all the day long. We've got to keep moving there. I know some of us are there, have made a lot of progress in that direction. But this book, much maligned here in the 21st century, but this book is the very breath of God in all of its human authorship. Its supreme author is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And if there is an imperative with respect to the living Word, It is that we must come to Christ. We must recognize Him for who He is. He is not just an outstanding religious teacher. He is not just a good moral philosopher. He is not just a figure of history. He's not just a wonder-working Superman. Jesus Christ is very God, the living, divine Logos, the Word of God. So we have to come to Him, and we come to Him on bended knee and with bowed head and with broken heart. We come to Him seeking from Him that which our very soul needs. He is the living bread come down from heaven, and we must partake of Him in repentance and faith and trust and dependence. And we must seek to follow Him in every way. We must learn to hear His voice. We must come to know His Father as He knows His Father and as He is revealed to us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. As we read in our confession a few moments ago, it is the Spirit of God, ultimately, the Holy Spirit of God, that convinces us of the truth of the written Word. And I will also suggest to you that it's the Holy Spirit of God that quickens, regenerates, and awakens us to the life that is found in the living Word.